Okay, today's daf is Lamed Bet. We're going to start at Lamed Aleph from a bet at the bottom. Okay, six lines from the bottom, two dots. Haya batel mina sela. Lo yomar lo ten li sela, ela no ten lo scharo kipoel. Okay, so we have this. If you make a high salary, you can't say, hey, listen, give me, he's going to basically take the guy's aveda, deal with it, and then go to the guy with a bill and say, hey, listen, it costs me X amount per hour. But what does he do? He pays him by a basic wage. We don't know exactly what this means here. We're going to understand this right now. If you notice, there's the word batel in parentheses. It seems that the Mishnah had noten lo scharo kipoel, but then we're going to see, this says, right, this should be Tana. Tana, there's a bunch of different Girsa'o problems here. But anyway, Tana, there's a Braita that says, noten lo scharo kipoel batel. So then they say, if you want to know what this means, what does it mean, noten lo scharo kipoel? What kind of poel, right? You go out on the market, there's a million different salaries. What's a poel batel? So another Braita says it's a poel batel. So we don't know yet what that is. My kipoel batel, the Gemara wants to know. Amar bai, kipoel batel shalotam alacha de batel mina. Okay, that might not have helped you very much. But what does this mean? It means, let's say you work for 100 shekels an hour. And the person tells you, listen, I'll pay you to not work. Okay, so this is always easy because you could go by a basic housekeeper amount. Okay, someone cleans your house for, let's say, 50 shekels an hour. So, now that's hard work, right, to clean the house. So if you tell the woman, I'll pay you to just sit and do nothing. How much less are you willing to take? So they might say, you know what, I'll take 30 shekels an hour. I'll make less money, but at least I won't have to work so hard. So you have to pay them the 30 shekels. That's the kipoel batel. Okay? Next section. Im yesh sham beiti matne bifnehem. Now this is an interesting halacha. I've been struggling in my head with trying to really understand it. If you really want to get paid let's say the going rate is 50 shekels an hour and you happen to make 100 shekels an hour. So you make 100 shekels an hour and you say, listen, I'm not willing to take the poel batel of 30 shekels an hour. I want to get paid my full 100 shekels, my big salary. So let's say you see this aveda. So if there's a beit din around, which basically means you can find three guys, form a beit din and say, listen, I will pick up this aveda under the condition that I get paid my full salary. He's allowed to. And then he can demand the full salary from the other guy. Now, this is a little strange, right? Because who's to say the guy is willing to pay that amount, right? So the assumption, first of all, is that the aveda is worth more than that. Otherwise, he definitely doesn't have to pay more than his aveda. And this is based on this concept that hefker beit din hefker. Remember we've talked about that concept? That the beit din has rights to transfer money from one person to the other, and therefore they can say, yes, they can agree that this guy is going to have to pay the money, even though the guy's not there and the guy doesn't know from it. Okay, that's what's a little strange about this, right? That the other party has no idea that this is going on and didn't commit to this. But yet if there's a beit din, that's sufficient. Now we're going to get a story. Isover of Safra Avid Iska Bahade Hadade. This is going to be a little different. This doesn't have to do with an aveda. This is, they were in business together. Azar Rav Safra, Palig Le Below Daate Di Isor. Rav Safra goes and takes his half, right? They were in a partnership deal. He takes his half of the proceeds without telling Isor that he's taking them. Be'ape Beitre, in front of two witnesses. Adel Kameja Rabbi Baruch Huna. So they come, now what happens? Isor now goes in front of Rabbi Baruch Huna and says, hey, you know, what's going on? He split it without doing it in front of me. Amarlei, so he says to Rav Safra, Rabbi Rav Huna says to Rav Safra, Zil Aite Tlata de Palgat Kamayu. Go bring the three guys that you split it up in front of. Right, remember, what did he do? He did it in front of two. Oh, Inami, alternatively, what could you do? You could bring Tremigo Tlata. You could bring two out of the three, okay? It's enough to bring two out of the three that you did it in front of. Vinami, or you have one other alternative, Tre Sade de Palgat Ba'ape Beitlata. You can bring two witnesses that saw you take your half in front of three people. So Amarle, Menalacha, he says to him, wait a minute, I only did it in front of two. Where are you all of a sudden bringing in three? Why do you think I have to do three people? Amarle, Rabbi Rav Huna says to him, You see from our Mishnah, right? What did it say? Only if there's a beitin can you stipulate this condition. Now, obviously, we're talking about different cases, right? But then it says, "Ein sham beitin b'pnei bni yatneh shelo kodem," right? But if there's no beitin, remember what happens? Since he has no one to stipulate this condition in front of, so he basically gets to say, "I'm not going to take this aveda at all." Then, if I'm not going to get my money back, then I'm not going to deal with it.
Couldn't he have been one of the
aidim? No, he can't be an aid for his own benefit. Right? He would be nogeh b'davar. So basically, and what's the whole concern here of the guy that you would need to have witnesses? That maybe he split it, right? We're not talking about 200 shekel and he took 100. We're talking about it was land, let's say, and he split half the land. And where exactly you draw the line and how the measurements were done and everything else. You know, whatever it might be, we want to make sure he took exactly his portion, or he didn't take better quality land versus less quality land, or whatever it might be, to make sure it was split exactly evenly. So now, right, the similarity between the two is that it's some sort of, right, divvying up of money, but it's different, obviously. So that's obviously what Rosafra is going to say. Amarlei mi dame hatam demapik mamona mehai umotiv lahai biinam beitin. When you're talking about removing money from one guy and giving it to a different guy, like in the Aveda case, where we're basically going to say that the guy who lost his item is now going to have to pay up to the other guy more money than he might have been expecting to do, so then you need a beitin in order to stipulate that that's what's going to happen. Aval hacha didei shakle giloi milta ba'al mahu. But here he's taking his own. He's taking something that was mi'ad for him, right? This isn't a law of hefker beitin hefker, which would require a beitin. This is a law of he's taking his own stuff, and we just need, right? We just need someone to verify that what he took was half. So that's giloi milta ba'al mahu. And therefore, betray Sagele. By the way, it's interesting. This reminded me, we're in Daf Lamebet above a Metzia. This reminds me of Gittin Lamebet, where we have both a machloket about bifnei kama mivatlo, when you're mivatel the get, is it between two or three? And we also had the issue of the giloi milta, right? Giloi milta beget, is it good or not? It was like all the same stuff right around. I think it was Lamebet through Lamedalet. Anyway, it just reminded me of both those issues come up here also. And the hefker beit din hefker. So three things. Therefore, betray sagele. Okay, therefore, two should be enough in this case. Teda, and here's further proof, ditnan, almana mocheret shelo bifnei beitin. What do we see here? Then an almana, if you remember, a woman loses her husband. So what happens? As long as she doesn't demand her ketubah money, what does she do? She continually gets mizonot, right? Let's say the husband's money runs out and he only has property. So what can she do? She can sell the property, and here we see she can sell it to pay her mizonot, shelo bifnei beitin. Okay, which shows that, again, she's getting something that's rightfully hers. It's just a matter of making sure that what she's taking is the appropriate amount. For that, edim is sufficient, and that's exactly the case of Rav Safra. So there's Rav Safra's two proofs, right? He makes a distinction, then he brings a proof. So now, Amarlei Abaye, wait a minute. Don't try to use that as a proof. What does he say? V'lav mi itmarla. Doesn't someone say on that Mishnah, Amar of Yosef bar Menume, Amar of Nachman, Almana ena tzricha beitin shel mumchim, aval tzricha beitin shel hedyotot. Okay, so it's not true that she doesn't need a beitin. She doesn't need a beitin of specialists. She just needs a hedyota, right? What's the difference? Beitin shel mumchim is when you go to an official beitin. Beitin shel hedyotot is when you find three people on the street and it's basically three people testifying. Okay, so we see there's two, right? There's two opinions there. It's not so clear cut, right? In other words, Rabba Bar Rav Huna said also in the case of splitting up nechassim, you need three, and likewise for the almana. And Rav Safra thinks, nah, you only need two. Okay, and then the question was, is it similar to our case or not? New Mishnah. Mitzah Berethet. We're continuing along in cases where you find an aveda, and do you have to take it, do you not? Is it an aveda or not? If you find it in a refet, we'll see exactly what this case is in a little while. Ein chayev ba. You don't have to return it. Birushut harabim. If you find a para in Rishut harabim, then chayev ba. Right? The refet is where the parot live, where the cows live, the cow shed. If you find it in Rishut harabim, then you have to return it. Ve'im hayta bebeit hakfarot. Now, obviously, we're moving into a kohen case, okay, even though they don't say so. If it was in the beit hakfarot, lo yitamela. If you remember, we did this already, but we didn't do this in the Mishnah. We got to this because we got into all these other braitot about behitalam tamehem, But we didn't see this inside in the Mishnah yet. So the Mishnah is now telling us. We're going to see now a repeat of a few things we saw. If it was in the Beit HaKvarot, so the Kohen doesn't need to become Tameh. Im amar lo aviv, now we get an additional halacha. What if your father tells you, he Tameh, go into the Beit HaKvarot and return this lost item? Or some people say it's not even that he's telling him to go into the Beit HaKvarot to return the lost item. He's just telling him, go into the Beit HaKvarot. Maybe the father wants him to do something for him in the Beit HaKvarot. O sha'amar lo al tachzir. Or in a case, you have to, there's a lot of words missing in this Mishnah. Or in the case where, right, you know, first it was missing that it's a Kohen. Then it's missing now what even this case is. Don't return that lost item. Obviously, they mean in a case where the person is chayav to return it, where let's say it's not Beit HaKvarot. And the father says, don't do it. Don't return it. Why would he say don't return it? The Mefarshim say, because he's saying, I want you to do something for me, you know, come take care of me and don't return this lost item. So when there's a conflict of kibud avim and a mitzvah in the Torah, lo yishmalo, you're not supposed to listen to your father. Okay, this Gemara, by the way, we're going to see the Gemara on this also in the Mishnah itself, is you could see where people take this halacha to dangerous places. Right? You could see people who, let's say, are chozer b'tshuva and start rejecting what their parents say, you know, if their parents want them to do something and say, oh, I'm not chayv and kibud avim. So you have to be very wary when you have to be very particular about how you use this halacha and how you don't and what kind of conflicts we're talking about, because it could go to dangerous places. Okay, so here when it comes in direct conflict with the mitzvah d'oraita, so you're not allowed to listen to him. Parak v'ta'an, now we're moving on to another case we saw already. Again, in the drashot, they brought this in the Gemara. Now the Mishnah is telling us, parak v'ta'an, afilu ar-ra'a v'chamisha pa'amim chayav, sheneemar azov ta'azov. Remember, the dual lashon teaches you, even if you already picked up the thing and it went and it fell off, or you picked it up again, you have to constantly help him, even 4 to 5 times. But I didn't say this. I think it's obvious, though. 4 to 5 times means even, 10 more. And we saw in the bright, it said even 100 times. Halach v'yashavlo. By the way, this I was just thinking about the. I say how the 4 or 5 repeats itself. Also, the mayor repeats itself. We're going to see, let's say, in Mako, they talk about even if 100 Adim come in one group and they become Zomim. There's all sorts of things like even 100 times. There's all sorts of numbers that are used. There's 3, there's 4 or 5, there's 100, there's all sorts of basic numbers. If you know, they don't use 77 or, some kind of random number. It's typical in all sorts of genres of literature that would be. Okay. Halach v'yashavlo v'amar ho'il v'alecha mitzvah im ritzoncha lifrok prok patur. Now, if the owner, we saw this also, is sitting there and says, listen, it's your mitzvah to do it, so I'm just going to sit on the side and let you do it. So then you don't have to. You're patur. Shenemar imo, because it says with the owner. Im ayaza keno chole chayav, right? Unless the guy actually can't do it, if he's older or sick. Mitzvah min haTorah lifrok, aval lo lit'on. It's a very strange line. Gemara's going to struggle with it. It's a mitzvah to take off when the animal's burdened, but not to help put it on. That's very weird, because didn't we say one pasuk was talking about prika and one pasuk was talking about tina? So we're going to have to deal later with what this mishnah is talking about. Rabbi Shimon omer af lit'on. Okay, Rabbi Shimon says lit'on is also a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi aglili omer im haya alav yeter al maso'o ein zakuklo. Rabbi Yossi aglili has a unique shita. It's very interesting. He says if the owner put a very heavy burden on top of the animal that's not a typical burden that the animal should be carrying, then you don't actually need to help him. Okay? Shenemar, why? Tachat masa'o. It says, if he's struggling under his burden. So what are they darshan from here? Masoi she'achol la'amobo. It only refers to his burden that is a typical burden. But if the owner put on him something much more significant, then you don't have to help him.
It's interesting that you were saying about how the beginning of this mission can go to dangerous places.
Yeah.
This whole mission, to me, seems like it's limiting people's power. Like, just because you're a Kohen, or just because you're the father, doesn't mean that you get to do this. Mm-hmm. And just because you own that animal, don't assume that everybody else is going to help you. Uh-huh. So I think that there's, a very
interesting
positive...
So I like what you're saying. What you're saying is, I would even put a bigger spin on it, which is that it's teaching you that you can't take advantage of this halacha to just sit back and do nothing, or to boss people around. In other words, let the father, you can't, there's different people there's different relationships here, right? A father, son, a friend helping another friend. And you have to be wary about, you know, how you use your power. Can you just sit back and say, oh, it's your mitzvah, you know, go right ahead and do it. Or you can burden your animal, oh, you know, do something beyond what you're allowed to do and then have someone else pick up the slack for you. Okay? On the other hand, there's a problem with this last thing because the question is, who are you helping in this mitzvah of prika? Are you helping the animal or are you helping the owner? So if the focus is on the animal, then adrabah, if the animal is under some really heavy burden, well then you have to help him because he's struggling all the more so, which is not Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right? He seems to be looking at the focus of the owner himself. In other words, the owner messed up and therefore you don't need to help him really. This is a little similar to the emo, like with the shoel, and if the ba'alim are with him, then again the ba'alim should be responsible, right? Remember, if the she'ela ba'alim, if the owner's still there, right, then you're less responsible because he's there and he should have also been watching it, or maybe, you know, and the question is like who's doing what they should be doing. Okay. Amar Rava. So we're going to get into this more. Because if you notice, Rabbi Yossi Aglili said this, obviously Tanna Kamma disagrees. Ultimately, what we're going to get into is a whole long sugya about Tzara Balei Chaim. And is it deoraita, is it not? And we're going to use this to kind of also discuss that issue. Amar Rava. So now we're going to go back to the first case about Mitzah Berefet. Refet Shamru, Einam Mat'eh, Ve'einam Meshameret. Okay. There's two kinds of refets here. They're going to say that this isn't. It's not a refet. It's a refet where there's no food in it at all, and the animal's going to have to run away to search for food. Because if so, what did we say? If you find it in a refet, you don't have to return it. Now, if this animal's in a refet, okay, we'll read it right now. Einamat emi dekatane eino chayavba. It says eino chayavba, which means that it can't be a case where the animal has no food in there and he's going to have to run away to find food, because then basically this animal is lost. Just because it's in the refet, he's certainly not going to stay there, in which case you have to return the animal. So if you go to a refet and there's no food there and nothing for the animal and he's going to have to go run and find stuff, then you have to return the animal. Ve'ena mishameret, and why do we say it's not protected? Mide'itzrich lemitne eno chayavba. De'isal kadatach mishameret, hashta mishkach la'abarai ma'ayle legavai. Okay, let's read that word for word. What does it mean in Amish Shameret? It's not a place that's locked up. Okay, because if it was a place, by the way, the assumption here, I forgot to mention, is that it's a refet that belongs to the owner. Okay, it's just what they're telling you is, if the refet belongs to the owner, you don't have to return it. And that's obviously, what do you mean return it? It's in the owner's refet. But the point is that they want to teach you the opposite, which is if it's in a refet that's where there's no food and the animal might have to run away, then you have to make sure that the animal gets what it needs so it doesn't run away. And then they're saying, and it's obviously talking about a refet that's not locked. Because if it were locked, if the animal's locked up in a refet, well, obviously there's no, right, there's no chidush there. Okay? Because if it's telling you, eino chayav ba, so obviously, I know chayavba, if it's in the guy's own refet locked up, what's even, there's nothing to even discuss. So therefore, what's it telling you, right? For the fact that it needs to tell you, I know chayavba. Because de'isal kadatach mishameret, if you thought it was locked, then there would be no reason. Because hashta mishkach la'abarai, if you found the animal outside the refet, what would you do? Ma'ayale le'gavai, you bring it inside to this locked up refet. So mishkach la'mi gavai mibaya. So obviously, if it was inside the refet, there would be absolutely no reason for you to have to do anything. Ela shmamina enem shamerit shmamina. So in the end, what are they saying this halacha is? This halacha is telling you that if you find this animal in an open barn house, you know, a barn, then basically what do you have to do? You have to do anything. Even though you might suggest, oh, well, maybe it will run away, maybe it's not really protected. No, it is. That's sufficient, okay? Unless there's no food inside, and then you would have to return it. One more thing about this refet. Mitzah berefet eno chayav. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, v'hu she'omedet l'toch ha'toch la'tchum. This means that this is when the refet is within the tchum. Okay? If it's outside the tchum of the city, then you would maybe, then it would be an aveda, according to this reading. Michlal, what can we infer from here then? It compared the refet to the Rishud Arabim. So now what are they going to assume? If it's omedet b'toch ha'tchum, then michlal, from here you can infer that what? The birashud harabim, Afilu b'tocha tchum nami chayav. In the opposite case, what did it say? That in the Rishit Arabim, you have to return it. So they're saying, even if the Rishit Arabim is within the tchum of the city. So it's a bit of a strange diuk, because Rishit Arabim is generally within the tchum of the city. But okay. Now, Ika d'matne la seifa. Some people say that this line of Rabbi Yitzchak was really said about the last line, which is, b'Rishit Arabim chayav ba, and then we're going to come to a different conclusion, which is what? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, v'hu shal medech chutz la tchum. And the Rishit Arabim, you have to return it. That's only if the animal is outside the tchum. Michla, from here you can infer, right? Again, you have to question, what exactly is chutz la tchum? I didn't think about this when I was preparing. What is chutz la tchum when you're talking about Rishit Arabim? I don't think it's... Yeah, but the tchum... But what's the relevance of that?
It says the word tchum denotes a boundary since 2,000 amot beyond the limits of a town.
Yeah, but so what's a Rishit Arabim that's 2,000 amot beyond the limits of the town? Right? In other words, tchutz la tchum, does it mean you have to return it to a... It's talking about the distance of how far you have to return it to the guy? Let's see. I'm trying to figure out. Right. In other words, the assumption is that if you're in the tchum of the city, in the refet, right, you can assume it must belong to someone within the city and he left it there. But if you find it outside the tchum, then you're worried that it's a lost item. That's according to the first nusach. The question is, what would be a Rishit Arabim outside city limits? Right? It sounds strange. Rishit Arabim is always inside the city by definition, because outside the city there's always less people.
Not
only that, once it's a Rishit Arabim.
It's also Rishit Yachid. It's a closed, even if it's way outside of the city.
If it's in someone's barn, right, some barn. So that's the issue. We're concerned that even though it's in someone's barn, it could be, first of all, if it's outside the city, all the more so, there's less people watching it, and maybe it'll just run away. So that's why there's even a question here. Maybe you'd be chayav. Right. It could be. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, I don't know exactly. I have to figure this out after. I don't know exactly what how you can have a case of chutz l'tchum outside of im Rishit Arabim. Anyway, according to this nusach, the relevance to this is not so much Rishit Arabim. It's really what they're going to learn from here about the refet. So according to this, v'hu shomedet chutz l'tchum, michlal de'berefet afilo omedet chutz l'tchum nami eno chayav ba. Okay, according to the first reading, what did we say? Chutz l'tchum by a refet, you would have to return it because it's outside the city and you could assume that this animal might be lost. If you find it in some barn, we assume it doesn't, you know, we don't, the owner might not have left it there on purpose. But according to this reading, even outside the tchum, you're also not going to have to return it. Okay, next case. Now we're going to get to the father and the son. Bebei takfarot lo yitamela. Tanu rabanan. Minayin shim amar lo aviv hitama. Osha amar lo al tachzir. Shelo yishma lo. Shenemar. How do we know that this is true? That you don't have to listen to your father if he tells you to do something against the Torah. And, you know, then again, to not listen to your father is also going against the Torah. Shneamar ish imo v'aviv tirao ve'ed shabto tai tishmoru ani Hashem. Very famous drasha, right? The connection of these two things in the pasuk: you have to fear your parents and keep Shabbat ani Hashem. Kuchem chayavim bechvodi. Even your father has to respect God, and therefore it's saying the father can't start telling you to do things against the Torah. So Tama dekatav Rachmana et shabto tai tishmoru. According to this, wait a minute. It sounds like just because there's this drasha, we learn this halacha, right? But otherwise, you wouldn't say so. Halav hachi, but without this, hava mina tzaitale. What? Without this pasuk, you would have thought you could listen to your father. V'amai, we have a better reason. Forget this drasha. We could say it's for a different reason. Hai ase, v'hai lo ta'ase v'ase, v'lo ate ase, v'dachi lo ta'ase v'ase. The mitzvah to listen to your father is a mitzvah aseh. The isur and mitzvah, right, to not be mitameh lameit, is both an aseh and a lo taseh, kedoshim to you and lo yitameh. So therefore, how can it lo ate aseh v'dache lo taseh v'aseh? So they're saying, what do you need this drasha for then? So now they say, no, itzrich. Salkadat hachamina ho'il v'hukash kibura ve'em lechvodo shomakom. Shenemar, kabed et avicha v'imecha, v'nemar lahalan, In Sefer Mishlei, it says, "Kabed et Hashem mehonecha." You have to respect God with your money. Hilkach litzayele. We might have thought that since the same terminology is used for respecting God and respecting your parents, is a bit strange because they're using a pasuk from Mishlei. That's why I wanted to tell you it's from Mishlei and not from the Torah. But yet they use this pasuk to say, just because it says kibud aveim, in the same way it says kabed et Hashem, and you might have thought that therefore you could listen to your father or mother if they tell you to go against God, kamash malan delo lishmale. That's why you need this special drasha. Okay? Mitzvah mena Torah lifrok avalo liton. Now we have to understand, what does this mean? Right? Because what does it mean? It's not a mitzvah liton. May avalo liton. Ilema avalolit on klal. If it means, you think it means not to be towing, that you don't have to help at all to pick up a burden to help someone. Maishna prika dechtiva zovta zovimo tinanami haktiva kem takimimo. In other words, we have two psukim, one for prika, one for tina. So why would you possibly say that? Ela mitzvah min haTorah lifrok bechinam velolit on bechinam ela besachar. This goes back to something we saw before, which is, what it means to say avalolit on means you don't have to do it for free. As you can get paid to do te'ina, which is different from prika. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and this matches, we saw Rabbi Shimon before, that he says, now when he says aflit on, what does he mean? Aflit on bechinam. If you remember there, we said, what are you going to do with the pasuk if you're hold by Rabbi Shimon, right? What's he going to do with the pasuk if he thinks that lit'on is bechinam? Right? And then we said, according to him, oh, debrat torach l'sham b'nei adam. Right? So then, what does he say? Af l'tom b'chinam. Tanina laha d'tana rabbanan. We see this also in a braita. Prika b'chinam tina b'sachar. Rabbi Shimon omer zo v'zo b'chinam. So we see this exact machloket in a braita. My time ayu d'rabbanan. So now we're going to get into what's the reason. D'isal kadatach k'Rabbi Shimon, lit of rachmana tina v'lo b'ay prika. It could have just written it once. It didn't need to write it twice. You could have just written Te'ina, and it wouldn't need to write Prika, and we'd already know Va'ana Amina. And why would we say we could learn Prika from Te'ina? Ana Amina, Uma Te'ina, Delepe, Tzarbale Chaim, Veleka Chisron Kis Chayav. If, let's assume like this. According to Chachamim, they're saying from process of elimination, you know, we can knock out the other option and then prove ours. What are they going to say? If you say the Te'ina is Bechinam, just like Prika, then basically it's all part and parcel of the same halacha, and it could have just written it once. And what would it have written? It would have written Te'ina. And then we would know, okay, Te'ina is Bechinam, right? You don't have to pay the guy to do it. And all the more so, you should be chayiv in Prika. Why? Because Prika has two added elements. Number one, the animal is suffering, which isn't the case in Te'ina. And number two, there might be a loss of money because if you don't help him, the animal might die, in which case the owner is going to lose his money. So therefore, obviously, for chayiv and Te'ina, where neither of those exist, because the burden's not even on the animal yet, so there's no tzar bale chayim, there's no chisron kis. Therefore, prikad ipe tzar bale chayim b'chisron kis lo kol shekein. Obviously, you'd be chayav. Ela lamai hilchata katva rachmane. So then therefore, rachmane, why did the Torah teach us both? Lomar lecha prika b'chinam v'tina b'sachar. So his basic assumption is it's written twice, right? This goes back to all those things about why are things written twice, both in Shmon and in Dvarim, right? Sometimes we say they're repeated for other reasons. But comes the Gemara and they say, Chachamim say the duplicity, the fact that it's written two different occasions, must be teaching you that there's a difference between each one. And what will be the difference? That one you're chayav to pay, and one you're not chayav to pay, the guy who did the work. Rabbi Shimon, my time. What's Rabbi Shimon's logic? Mishum de lo mesayime cry. Okay, in other words, it's not clear. It wouldn't be clear from the psukim. Okay, this is like a bit of an unclear term. What the term is saying is the psukim are unclear. And I think what he's saying is that you can't really learn out from the psukim because it's unclear exactly what they say. Okay, in other words, you can't figure out whether one is talking about Hakem Takim and Azov to Azov isn't so clear which one's Prika, which one's Te'ina, what exactly it means. And therefore, he says, we wouldn't necessarily know one from the other, and therefore, it had to write it twice so it would be very clear. Okay? Even though the wording is not so clear, but he's saying, you can't really learn it from those psukim. V'Rabbanan, Amai Lo Masai May Cry. According to Chachamim, this is what they would say. Why do you think that these psukim aren't clear? I think it's very clear. Okay, how does he think, Chachamim say, how do they think it's very clear? Ketiv, in one context it says, Rovetz tachat masa'o, that seems very clear. The animal is struggling under its burden. Hatam ketiv, noflim baderech. Okay, from noflim baderech, now this is the one that you could say is a little bit less clear, but what does he say? Deramu inhu v'ta'aninu be'orcha. Okay, this means that the behemot and the masa'ot are on the ground, basically. In other words, nothing's on the animal itself. Rabbi Shimon, noflim baderech, inhu, v'taninhu ala ilavaihu. As noflim baderech is talking about the animal, but the masa is on them. In other words, Chachamim say noflim baderech is both the masa and the animal, where it's all on the ground. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not so clear. It could also be understood as precock. It could also be understood as noflim baderech is the animals or noflim tachat the burden. Okay, so therefore they argue over how to understand these psukim. Now we get to what I think is the real interesting part of today's daf, which is Amar Rava Midivrei Shnehem, whether you hold by Rabbi Shimon or whether you hold by Chachamim, Nomad Tzar Balei Chayim De'oraita. Okay, from here you can see that the halacha of Tzar Balei Chayim is from the Torah. Va'afilu Rabbi Shimon lo kamar ela mishum de lo masai me krai. Ava masai me krai darshinan kavachomer. As if the psukim had been clear, right, his issue is that the psukim aren't clear, and that's why. But otherwise, you would have been able to darshin a kavachomer. Mishum, my lab mishum kavachomer. One second, how do you read this? Mishumai. Right. What's this kavachomer? How do you get to this kavachomer? My lav mishum tsar bale chayim. Darshinan. In other words, what's this kavachomer? Okay, now what's happening here is we're saying that Rabbi Shimon would hold that even, right, that you can also darshan a kavachomer from prika to tiina. From, well, we'll see which one. From tiina to prika, really. So now, what do we assume this kavachomer is? Lav mishum tsar bale chayim darshinan, right? And what's the kavachomer? What did we say before? Tina is two things, right? That are easier, right? It's the kal case because it doesn't have two things. Ein tsar bale chayim, right? And ein chesron kis. So now, what we're going to say is, comes Rava and he says, we can learn that Tzar Balei Chayim is deraita even according to both. Because even Rabbi Shimon would hold that were it not for this fact that the psukim left it unclear, we'd have been able to learn out te'ina, prika from te'ina, right? We'd be able to learn from te'ina to prika, from a kavachomer. Now, what's the assumption? If he's saying from a kavachomer, so what's he going to say? Because te'ina ain't Tzar Balei Chayim. And prika, yes, tsar balei chayim. So what do you see here? That the concept of balei chayim is a deoraita concept. So now the Gemara says, what makes you think that the kavachomer is because of the tsar balei chayim? Dilma mishum diika chisron kis. V'achli kamar, and you can make the kavachomer this way. Umatina delei b'chisron kis chayav, prika di b'chisron kis lo kol shaken. Okay? So now what are we saying? Beforehand, when we made this kavachomer, we made it using two stipulations, right? But you know what? You can make a kavachomer using just one. And you could just say, well, Tina doesn't have chesron kis, and Prika has chesron kis, and that's your kavachomer. So that doesn't prove that Tzar Balei Chayim is deoraita. So now they want to question this, and they say, V'tina ein ba chesron kis? Who's to say that Tina doesn't have chesron kis? Mi lo askinan, could you not say that the case is, da dahachi vahachi batal mishukei? The guy's sitting there. He's got to get his load onto the animal. He can't do it. Now, if he gets his load onto the animal, what does that mean? He gets to the shuk and he sells his stuff. If he's sitting there and he can't move, well, if he doesn't get to the shuk in time, you know, people are going to buy other people's stuff and he'll get there late and that'll be the end of it. So, therefore, what are they basically saying? Tina is chesron kis. Which means if you can make a kavachomer, the only kavachomer you can make is tsar balei chayim. So until now we've assumed it's not. Now all of a sudden they're suggesting maybe you could say Tina does have chesron kis. Inami, second option. Why it could be chesron kis? Atu ganve b'shakle koma diika bahade. You could also say that maybe ganavim are going to come. If you don't help him put his load on his animal, he's sitting there on the side of the road with his stuff. A ganav could come and just take his stuff. Right? The assumption is if it's on the animal, it's less likely a ganav is going to come. Okay. Teda. Okay, now we're going to try to... So that's Rava. That's Rava's proof that Tzar Bale Chaim is Doraita. So now we're going to try to prove or disprove Rava's statement that Tzar Bale Chaim is Doraita. Teda, the Tzar Bale Chaim Doraita. De Katani, now we're going to get back to the Sefer, where we mentioned that from the Mishnah you could see Tzar Bale Chaim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Imaya Lav Yeter Amasao, Ein Zakuka. Remember, if the guy puts on too heavy a burden, you don't have to help him. Shenemar Tachat Masao, Masor Shechal La'amobo. So what could you infer from here? Lav Michlal Datana Kama Savar Zakuklo. The fact that Rabbi Yossi Aglili comes in and says you don't need to implies that he disagrees with Tanakama, which means that what does Tanakama hold? That even if he puts on a really heavy burden, you have to help the animal. What do you see there? Tzar Bale Chaim, right? It's obviously not because you have to help the owner. The owner messed up. He was wrong. But you have to help because of the animal. So my time, alav mishum de tzar bale chayim de oraita. Is it not because tzar bale chayim is de oraita and therefore you have to help him anyway? So they say no. Maybe that's not the motivation here. Dilma betacha masa'o pligi. Maybe they're arguing over drashata katuv. Okay? How you understand the words in the pasuk. De rabbi yosi savar darshinan tachat masa'o. Masoi shechol amobo. Rabbi Yossi Aglili looks at those words and says tacha masao means masoi shechol amobo. For Rabbanan Savre lo darshina tacha masao. When he sees tacha masao, he thinks it just means very simply any burden. Who's to say whether it has to be a heavy burden, a light burden? And this has nothing to do with is it because of tzar balei chayim or not. Now this is a bit of a difficult answer because what this is saying is that there's a concept of a drasha, which is devoid of logic, and there's a concept of logic, right? That it's based on a principle. Now, often when we learn, at least the way I like to view things, is that if they're going to have this drasha, their drasha must be based on some logic. So if they're going to darshan tacha masao, either as any burden versus a very heavy, right, a typical burden and not a very heavy one, that argument is based on, do we hold that this is all about tzar bale chayim, or do we hold this is all about helping your friend, and you don't have to help your friend if he did something wrong? Okay, so the Gemara right now is separating that and saying there could be, now again, you have to remember, the Gemara is just doing this for the sake of arguing. We tried to bring this as a proof for tzar bale chayim is d'oraita, and they're saying you can't necessarily assume that tzar bale chayim is d'oraita here, because you could just say it's about how they understood the pasuk. So it's giving a possible understanding of knocking out this as a proof. It doesn't mean that that's what they think is the case. You still, I think, could still relate them. Often when the Gemara is pushed into a corner, you know, and they want to disprove something, they suggest all sorts of random possibilities, even if they're not the greatest possibility. Okay. Teda, here's another attempt to prove one way or the other. Now we're going to prove the other way. Tzar bale chayim lav d'oraita. Let's try to prove that tzar bale chayim is not d'oraita. How? Dekatani reisha. It says in the reisha, halach v'yashav lo. The guy just sits there idle. V'amar lo ho'il v'alecha mitzvah lifrok prok patur shenemar imo. Okay, right. Remember, only if the owner's helping you. So here, perfectly right. V'isal kadatach tzar bale chayim d'oraita. Right. If we're all worried about the animal, not the owner, so mali ite lamare bahade. Mali kile telamari bahade. What's the difference whether the owner's there or the owner's not there? So they say, no, la olam tzar bale chayim is d'oraita. Okay, that doesn't prove it. Why? We still could say that tzar bale chayim is d'oraita. Mi savar patur legamre. When you read this Mishnah, we thought it means that you actually don't have to help him at all. B'dilma patur b'chinam v'chayav b'sachar. Maybe you're putter in the sense that, what do we usually say about prika? When it comes to prika, what do we say? You do it for free. But now, in this case, if the owner's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs and letting you do the mitzvah, you still have to do it because it's tzar bale chayim. However, he doesn't have to pay you. Okay, you follow? That's the distinction he's going to make now, which means that you could still say tzar bale chayim is d'oraita. V'hachi kama rachmana. Now they're just going to explain this, spell it out. And this is what the Torah is saying. When the Torah says imo, it's telling you that when the owner's there, avigabe b'chinam, you have to work for him for free. When he's not there, you do it b'sachar. It makes a lot of logical sense, by the way.
It's also an incentive for the owner to treat the animal better, because that
if he puts too heavy a burden or if he doesn't help the animal himself, he will have to pay without helping him. So what you're signaling to the owner is you yourself.
Yeah, fair. What you're saying is that the halacha, I like that, it's the halacha is preventative. It's don't get yourself into this situation. Treat your animals properly, because if you get yourself into this situation, either no one's going to help you at all, or if they do help you, you're going to have to pay for it. Yafeh. Okay, and then the conclude to la'olam tzar balei chayim d'oraita. Okay, now we're going to bring further attempts to prove it. Lema, to support it. Support this answer. Lema mesayale. Let's suggest that this supports it. Be'ema dovei kochavim mitapel ba kebehemat Yisrael. Okay, if you see a behemah v'vei kochavim, you have to deal with it the same way you would with a behemah Yisrael. Iyamar b'shlamat tzar balei chayim d'oraita mishum hachi mitapel ba kebehemat Yisrael. Right? Obviously, it has to do with tzar balei chayim. It doesn't matter who the owner is. We see an animal suffering, you have to help him. It doesn't matter who his owner is. Ela iyamar tzar balei chayim lav d'oraita amay mitapel ba kebehemat Yisrael. So now they're going to reject this and say no. This doesn't prove that tzar balei chayim is d'oraita. This has a different reason, and this goes back also to Gittin, a lot of comparison to Gittin on the Zapim. Hata mishum eva. If you remember, there was this concept that the non-Jews will hate you. We did this with the Tikkun Olam things, right? That non-Jews might hate you if you don't help them, and therefore you have to help them, but not because it's the chiyuv d'oraita. Hachinami mistabra, and this all the more so can be proven, that's mishum eva. Why? Dekatane, it says in a braita, imaitatu una ye nesech ein zakukla. Okay, so now it says you have to help a behemat akum, but not if it was carrying yain nesach. Iyamar bishlama lav de'oraita. If you say it's not de'oraita, mishum hachi ein zakukla. That's why you don't have to help him. Ela iyamar de'oraita, amai ein zakukla. If it's de'oraita, so why don't you have to help the animal? Who cares what the animal's carrying? If you were worried about tzar balei chayim, you should help the animal whether it's carrying yain nesach or not. Remember what yain nesach is, right? It's wine that the non-Jews offer up to their avodah zarah. So now they say, no, you don't have to read it that way. Halachikama. Ulahatina yain nesach ein zakukla. You don't have to help him lahatin. Okay, look at the words. It said, imaitatu'una yain nesach, right? If it was carrying yain nesach, you don't have to help lifro. Now they say it didn't mean that. It had the word ta'an. It meant if he wants you to help him put his yei nesach up on top of the animal, you don't have to help him. Okay? But if it was carrying yei nesach, you would, because tzar balei chayim is d'oraita. Another source to prove. Tashma. Behemat ovei kochavim umasui Yisrael v'chadalta. Okay, so if you have a behemat ovei kochavim and it's carrying a masoi of Yisrael, then... One second, v'chadalta. I think this means you don't have to help it. One second, let me just remember what this v'chadalta is. Right. You don't have to help the non-Jew. Okay, take off the burden off his animal. V'i amar tzar balei chayim d'oraita amai v'chadalta azov ta'azov mibayale. Right, if you're going to say this is against tzar balei chayim being d'oraita. Okay, this is the opposite. Sorry, I said it was going to prove it. It's disproving it. If we say that tzar balei chayim is d'oraita, so then why don't you have to help this animal, right? You should have to help the animal. So la'olam tzar balei chayim is d'oraita. Hatam b'ti'ina. Again, we're going to say, right, like we said last time, it's not talking about prika. Anytime we say we don't have to help this non-Jew, right, whether it's his eved or whether it's his masa, right, what do we say? I'm sorry, whether it's his behema. So what do we say? It's ti'ina, and then it's not even a question. Ihachi ema seifa, but wait, look at the seifa of that braita. Behemat Yisrael umasui ove kochavim azov ta azov. If the animal is the Jews and the burden is the non-Jews, you have to help. And I b'tima, b'tina, if you're saying that the subject of that whole braita is tina, amai azov ta azov. Right? Why would you have to help a non-Jewish? Remember, the whole concept is these halachot are for fellow Jews. Why would you have to help a non-Jew get his burden onto the Jewish animal? So what do they answer? No, it must be mishum tzara di Yisrael. Right, the assumption is that if it's the Beima Yisrael, then who's the guy leading the animal? It's a Jewish guy leading the animal. So therefore, the assumption is it would be a headache for him. If you don't get the masoya, then he's just sitting there waiting around, and it's annoying for him. It's not because of a non-Jew, it's because of you're helping the Jew. Which means that we could still say it's tina, which we could still answer the other one. It's tina, and it has nothing to do with tzar balei chayim. Ihachi afilu reshanami. So in the Reish Hanami, we should say that the... one second. Afila Reish Hanami would be... If it was the Behemah Vavei Kochavim, then you should also have to worry about the Tsar of the Israel who's waiting around. Okay, so now they say no. Reisha Bechamar Ovei Kochavim. And Seifa Bechamar Yisrael. In other words, don't think just because the guy riding the animal in the Reisha, in the Seifa was a Jew, that the guy riding the animal in the Reisha was also a Jew. No. The guy riding the animal in the Reisha was a non-Jew, and the guy riding the animal in the Seifa is a Jew. Now you might say, my Pasakta, so why should you distinguish who's the... why would it be obvious that the chamar in the first case was Ovei Kochavim, the chamar in the second case was the Yisrael? Because Stama Demilta Inish Batar Chamre Azil. That's the assumption is that a person, if the animal is a non-Jewish animal, then the person riding the animal, you know, leading the animal is non-Jewish. And that's why that was the Reisha. And the Seifa was a Jewish animal with a Jew leading it. So it makes sense to make that distinction. That is, you're not going to make the distinction one's Prika, one's Ti'ina. That was their whole question, right? You're going to say the whole Brita is Ti'ina, but you could say that the driver was a different, you know, one was non-Jew, one was Jew, and that makes sense because if the Behema is switched in the Reisha and the Seifa, then the whatever the Behema is, the driver goes with the animal. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Discussion continues more about trying to prove or disprove this Tsar Balei Chayim is Doraita or not, which is a very important halacha, right? Whether we say this is a Derabanan Takana, let's be nice to animals, or really, according to Rava, it comes from the Torah, that the Torah, it's a Torah value about Tsar Balei Chayim, which obviously has mashmaoyot in all sorts of situations.